Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about some of the teaching of our Lord from the Sermon on the Mount. Before I do it again, I want to encourage you to consider joining us in 2020, that is Renewal Ministries, for our anniversary pilgrimage. Believe it or not, it's 40 years together we'll be celebrating in 2020. It went by just like that. But we're rejoicing in the 40 years that we had together in the desert wanderings and being with the Lord wherever He sent us. And we're extremely excited about where we see the Lord leading us in the days ahead in these difficult times. It's a great time to be a Catholic. It's a great time to be alive in the Lord. It's a great time to be able to, through His great help and His presence, to be able to be a light. That's our hope, that we can be a light, even in our fallenness and our weakness, that we can be a sign of hope and we can communicate the beauty and the majesty and the life of Jesus to others. And so if you're interested in the pilgrimage, as I said, we'll be going in the footsteps of St. Paul. There'll be an eight days in the pilgrimage, and there'll be a 3-day extension cruise included if you're interested in going. And all the information about the pilgrimage you can find on our website at renewalministries.net. You can just click on, when you get to the page, you'll see an icon right there. You can just click on, it'll be right in front of you, a drop-down brief description of the pilgrimage. And you can just click on that, and it'll take you and give you all the data that you need. If you need any questions answered, you could call our office at 734-662-1730. That's 734-662-1730. So back to our topic today. I was going to finish something I began yesterday, which is talking about the passage from chapter 7, the beginning of chapter 7 of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be measured against you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So one of the reasons I want to touch on this, it's part of the teaching here of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the things He's doing is He's exposing hypocrisy. One of the things that's very clear in all of Jesus' teaching is that Jesus cannot stand hypocrisy. And this is what He's going after here. So the phrase, "judge not, lest you be judged," is often taken out of context today. And it's being used as a kind of weapon to silence people who, and to silence believers who know they need to take a stand against some of the teaching and the habits of our culture that are being pushed down people's throats and we're being expected to conform to, that disciples of Jesus simply can't do. We can't conform to it. It's radically inconsistent with the teaching of Jesus, and it's profoundly harmful. And so some of that teaching is bleeding into the churches. And the churches are, I guess, not unexpectedly, because we want the adulation of the world. We have a temptation to genuflect to the world. We have a temptation and a weakness and the fear of men that's in us to want to be liked by everybody. We want to get along. But we're living at a time it's getting harder for that to happen. It's getting more difficult to follow Jesus, and we have to pay more of a price. But what's getting exposed, I guess, is that many of us don't want to pay a price. We expect the kind of easy jacuzzi experience or limo ride from here to eternity and not have to walk in the footsteps of Jesus in the way that Jesus described it. And so one of the things that's very present in our culture, and lots of Catholics talk this way, lots of Catholic leaders in politics and entertainment and the rest of it say the very thing. And they echo a line by Pope Francis, which kind of gets taken out of context, I think. But at the same time, it can be confusing where he said, "Who am I to judge?" Then the conclusion is drawn that Jesus is saying, you should never judge anyone. You should never judge anything in a person's life. And especially about all the sexual immorality, confusion, gender stuff, all that's present there. Well, what's really clear throughout the Bible is that if you're going to be a follower of God, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to make judgments. Leaders, parents have to make judgments about what's right and wrong in their own lives and for their children. Pastors have to do it in their churches and bishops and other people. And as brothers and sisters, we're commanded by the Lord to help one another come out of darkness, to come out of compromise. And it's really when a leader, for example, a pastor of a parish, refuses to call out certain kind of values and attitudes that are present in the culture, or knows of situations where he needs to go and speak alone to somebody personally about something that they're promoting and that they're living that's radically inconsistent with the teaching of Jesus, they often say no to it. They often won't do it because they're afraid of conflict, or it's just not the right thing to do, or who am I to judge, and all the rest of it, instead of going and in the way Jesus wants us to do it, with love, with compassion, with tenderness, with mercy, and having, as Jesus said, taking a good look, first of all, at the plank in our own eye. Now, Jesus is, again, he's not telling us, don't make judgments. What are judgments? It's simply evaluating between what's good and bad, what's right and wrong, what is the teaching of the Lord and what is not the teaching of the Lord. What's right and wrong from God's perspective is the key. And we want to be able to articulate that and remove whatever's inconsistent with Jesus's teaching, with God's teaching, because we know it hinders love. It stands in the way of the great commandment, which we've been talking about all week, loving God and loving neighbor. And if we're not going to stand in the truth and communicate the truth, speak the truth in love, then we're not loving. We're just not. And many times, unfortunately, we don't do it, and even our leaders don't do it, because we love ourselves too much in the wrong way, inordinate self-love. We don't want to risk being rejected or being hurt, or we don't want to risk an argument emerging or something like that. We need to be clear. Jesus is not telling us not to judge. Well, one of the things he's telling us, a set of things we shouldn't do. He makes it pretty clear. Failure to judge is wrong, and judging in the wrong way is wrong. But judging with righteousness, with the heart of God in love and truth, that's what we're expected to do. And we'll be held responsible, especially in the areas where we have responsibility over our own lives, our marriages, our family, our children, our parishes, the businesses that we ourselves create, the environments and the cultures that we create. We will be held accountable. The public stands we take as public leaders, whether you're politicians or whatever, you'll be held accountable. And Jesus makes that clear. But what he also makes clear is, first of all, he uses the example, before you go to your brother, you have to make sure that your heart is in the right place. Maybe you see something in your brother that's authentic. You know it's true, right? I mean, a number of years ago, a good friend of mine, unfortunately, was having marriage troubles, and he ended up getting in an adulterous relationship. And because I had a relationship with him, because I love him, I wanted to talk to him about it. And we had a conversation. And he told me he was doing the right thing. And indeed, he was in that kind of relationship and acting inappropriately in that relationship. And that he was just following his heart. And that he loved this person. And that he thought it was right. And so he kind of gave me the whole story. And he told me he was going to stay right where he was. And he was going to leave his marriage. And so I had a decision to make. We had another friend who was there who said to him, by the way, the other friend was raised Catholic, and said to him, hey, whatever makes you happy, whatever makes you happy. And I looked at this other friend and I said to him, you are such a chicken. You are such a chicken. I mean, why would you say something like that after you just heard what he told you? How can you possibly think that this is good for him and for his children and good in God's eyes? Adultery is wrong. And so part of what we have to do in a situation like that is Jesus is saying, first of all, check out the plank in your own eye. Where am I in relationship to God's commands on sexual immorality? And to understand and examine our own struggles so that our hearts can be tenderized, and that we're approaching the brother or person with the right motive. And the motive is love. And the motive is to help. And the motive is concern, to want to lead him into repentance and experience of God's mercy. Not to be judgmental. Not to say, I'm better than you. This is just not the case. And so Jesus is saying, get that clear so your approach is right, so you can then see the speck in your brother's eye. And so in the conversation, well, the other two guys asked me, they said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, here's the situation. This is what I know for sure. Based on what you described and based on what you're saying you're doing, is what I know about you is that you're an adulterer by your own choice. And what I know is that the teaching of Jesus, now this guy professed he was a Catholic. And what I know for sure about the teaching of Jesus is that adultery is a really, really big deal. And that it's absolutely wrong. And that if you die in this state without repenting, you're going to go to hell. Now, do I know everything? Am I the final judge? No. Will I know? But what I told him what I do know. And what I know is what Jesus said. It's not what Peter Herbeck said. And he's my friend, and I love him. Well, that was a difficult moment. It was a difficult moment for him and for me and for the other guy. We were all sort of divided in that moment because of this stuff divides. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. I came to divide. And in that moment, I was making a judgment. And people afterwards said, look, who are you to judge? I said, I'm not the judge. Jesus is, and Jesus' word is the judge. I mean, why would you not say something to a friend like this? Well, this is because it's his personal choice. Well, of course he has the power to make the choice. As a disciple, he doesn't have a right to make that kind of choice. He certainly has the power to do it. And I'm a brother, and I want to help him, right? And eventually he came out of it, and God worked it out, you know? But there's moments there he said, well, you know, it is his life, and it's his personal choice, and all the vocabulary that's in our culture, be tolerant. We're never supposed to be tolerant of gross sin. We're not supposed to be tolerant in our own life or in anybody else. Now, how you handle it depends upon what the nature of the relationship is with the persons that are in that situation, right? So in our broader culture today, we can see things. We can see Catholics in very public ways, like, you know, people who profess to be Catholics and believing Catholics, who stand up and say, I stand for the right for a woman to have complete authority over her own body and the baby in her womb, right up to the point before that child takes a breath. That woman has the right and the power to kill that child. And the husband or the boyfriend who's there has the right to just help her get her to do it and provide for the whole thing. And I stand behind that person, and the law must stand behind that person. Well, guess what? Somebody, a friend of that politician, who's a Catholic or a Christian, a pastor, a bishop, somebody better get to him and meet with him. You know, Scripture says, go alone to your brother. Don't radically do it in public, although I think in a situation when there's this much public expression of it, the leaders need to say, this position, this politician is taking is radically inconsistent with the teaching of the Catholic Church and the teaching of Jesus Christ. But in terms of his personal, you know, spiritual position he's in, you need to go to him and you need to say that to him, that what you're doing is a gross evil. It's wicked. And you're using your power to promote the murder of innocent children. That's going to send you to hell if you don't do something about that. Someone has to say that to them. That's what it means to be, and that's a judgment. We can't be tolerant about sin. But we need to judge as Jesus has taught us to. We'll talk more about this next week, friends. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.